Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to Three-Legged Torsos, Animals, and Cannibals, available at threelegtorso.com. With the fall season, performing arts openings abound in September. We're going to talk about some international and national dance offerings with Whitebird Dance. Today I'm joined by co-founders Walter Jaffe and Paul King, who will tell us about the first fall dance companies coming to Portland this season that they're bringing over. And we'll also check in with Artistic Director Sarah Jane Hardy at Northwest Children's Theater. They're opening James and the Giant Peach by Roald Dahl. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me are co-founders and co-artistic directors of Whitebird Dance, Walter Jaffe. Hello.
Hi, Dee Mae.
And Paul King. Hello.
Hello, Dee Mae. Thanks so much for having
Welcome
us.
Welcome both back to Stage and Studio. Now, we are going to reminisce a little bit because I've talked to you both throughout the years. Actually, I believe with the first year you were starting Whitebird, which was about 16 years ago or so,
pretty close there.
Yep. And you were talking about your love of dance, and then you had this big dream of bringing all these international companies and national companies that you have loved to Portland, so you could share that with Portland audiences. And so that dream has still been alive all these years. And I'm not trying to, like, date you or anything, you know. It's like, it's been a while. But, you know, has your love for this art form changed in any way?
I think it's important to note that, and we don't need to go into all the specifics, and that it was not our intention when we moved to Portland to bring Whitebird, to start Whitebird. As a matter of fact, Whitebird started a year later after we moved to Portland, named after our white bird, Barney, who's unfortunately not with us today. But we've always said we all are going on a path of discovery, a journey through dance. And really, Paul and I have learned as much about contemporary dance over the years as our audience. We bring you on a journey together with us. We've never thought that contemporary dance has a mystique about it, that's something that is somehow hard to understand. We're all learning and we're all experiencing it together. There's more challenging work. There's more accessible work. There's flamenco. There's tap. There are all kinds of dance, but we've learned about that in the process. That means Paul and I. And it's been a very exciting experience for us to share this with everyone here in Portland. And our audiences have stuck with us, and they've grown, and they've diversified, which for us is extremely important.
Well, on a personal note, I've always noted that you have this charming humility, both of you, regarding your expertise in dance. But after 16 years and traveling around the world to see so many dance festivals and going around from one country to another and also within this country, I would say that you're pretty much dance experts. Would you say that about yourselves?
Well, I think, you know, I know that our passion for dance has deepened, absolutely deepened over the years. And what we're discovering is that there is movement in a lot of places we weren't expecting it. We brought our very first new circus company last year from Australia. I went to a new circus festival in Montreal. It was a completely new universe for us. We're looking at hip hop and just theatrical dance. We're seeing movement in places that we just weren't expecting it. We even brought from Taiwan a company, Youth Theater, who is really a taiko drumming company.
You're bringing another one in 2014, though,
Cloudgate.
Which is a dance company, which sounds very intriguing as well, and I'm excited about that.
We're very excited. There will be 3.5 tons of golden rice on stage, which they're bringing with them, and we hope they take every grain back home.
And those listening know that Whitebird has put a lot of videos on all the dancers and the dance companies that they're bringing here. And you've got to see this grains of rice falling on the stage. And you can go to whitebird.org and see all the videos of all the dance companies. It's pretty tremendous. So dance is such a universal art form. And I'm always kind of jealous about that because as a theater artist myself, it's kind of hard when you're working with multiple languages to have it be so universal. And yet dance is so accessible in that way. I mean, you can take, does any dance really translate to any country if you were to take?
Yes. And that's one of the, as you mentioned, that's one of the strong attractions of movement. Movement is movement. There are times, and it's happening more and more, where text is accompanying the movement on stage. And we do bring work on occasion where there is text. But really, it is about the movement, and it's more and more about the theatricality of what you're watching.
And the music.
Go ahead.
And the music as well.
Yes.
The music is such an integral part of dance. We notice when people are uncomfortable with the work, it's usually because they're uncomfortable with the music, not necessarily what's happening on stage, though that sometimes happens as well. So, you know, art isn't always meant to make you feel comfortable. And there are occasions where work we've brought takes people outside their comfort zone, which is okay.
Well, does every country in the world have some form of dance? I suspect so. I don't see why not, right?
You know, Chris Rauschenberg, who lives here, he sent us photographs a few years ago from Mongolia of this dance company he saw there, and I was just so taken with it and have talked to some other folks in China about the exciting contemporary dance scene in Mongolia.
And contemporary dance. I mean, when we talk about folk traditions, of course, each country has folk traditions.
Well, I think that's what it's really is about. Dance is an old, old art form, and it does virtually every country, every people celebrates or expresses themselves through a dance form. What we bring focuses on contemporary dance, but that doesn't mean there's not some tradition that's represented on the stage. Cloudgate, very much, that we're bringing, is called Songs of the Wanderers and harks back to Taiwanese history and religious elements as well. This is all part of what dance is about today.
When you look at a contemporary form of a traditional dance, there may be such nuances that contemporize it that those from that country see that we really would not know. It looks like dance from their heritage. It looks like traditional dance, but it may be radical because they've changed it in some way.
Well, I was wondering, both Paul and Walter here, what is the most remote place you've ever been to? I mean, was there ever a place or a country that you've been to and you went, wow, I can't believe that there's this kind of contemporary dance here? I mean, maybe that's an ethnocentric thing to say. I don't know. But I'm just thinking, sometimes art, I mean, not sometimes, always, art has a way of surprising you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it comes in unexpected places. So what's the most unexpected place that you thought?
That's a tough question.
Well, what are some
We travel specifically often to see dance. So we know when we're going to the country, that's what we're going to see. But it's always exciting for us to discover new dance that's happening in different places.
I think two places that we sort of discovered that there was much more dance and the depth of the commitment by those artists were so strong include Israel. It's amazing how many choreographers and dancers there are there for such a small country. And Montreal, Canada, is just an amazing place for dance.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, talking with co-artistic directors of Whitebird Dance, Walter Jaffe and Paul King. If you want to see more info or photos as we talk, visit whitebirddance.org. And I also have that link at stageandstudio.org. Now, I want to talk about your new season, but we can't talk about the entire season because there's so much going on. You have dozens of different companies coming to Portland during the 2013-2014 season. So you have companies from France, Australia, Taiwan, Netherlands, as well as from around the U.S. But I want to talk about the first couple that you have this mm-hmm. fall. Let's start up with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet. They're from Aspen. They're from Santa Fe.
Right.
And and they're coming here. Now, they look kind of like traditional ballet from the videos, but they're also, they've got this modern edge to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, contemporary ballet now, there are many contemporary ballet companies or ballet companies that are moving in contemporary directions. Our own Oregon Ballet Theater has a very contemporary element to it. But Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, I think, started in 1995 by two guys like us, Tom Musburger and Jean-Philippe Malaté. They're the artistic and executive directors. And the focus is on contemporary dance. The thing that's remarkable about them, by the way, this is the third time we're bringing the company, our audience really loves this company, is their mobility. It's a 10, 11-member company. They basically just pick up and travel all around the world with very little baggage, with no baggage. It's all about the work itself. They always pick or select, work with, commission, exciting, often young choreographers. The program that we're bringing this time includes three. One is Cayetano Soto, who's from Spain but now based in Munich. He's creating quite a bit of work for contemporary ballet companies. And actually, Northwest Dance Project has had him here, Sarah Slipper's company, several years ago. The centerpiece is probably one of the most well-known choreographers in the world, Yuri Killian, who was the longtime artistic director of Netherlands Dance Theater in Holland. And he is actually represented by a very early piece that he did in 1975. And then possibly the most exciting element of the program is by a young choreographer, Norberto La Cruz III, who used to dance with complexions. He's actually Filipinian, but he studied at Juilliard. He's a prodigy. We saw actually the work that's going to be presented a couple of years ago in New York, and we were just blown away by it. So it's a great representation of what's happening in the dance world today, and it's extremely contemporary as far as movement, music, just the design elements.
And they seem to be a Portland hit, too. Aspen Santa Fe Ballet from Colorado and New Mexico returns to Portland September 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall in Portland. And then coming up from France, I mean, this is a busy month for you. You have, and you'll have to help me out here, Compagnie Maggie Marin, is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
And she's never performed in the U.S. before. This is actually the world premiere of the U.S.
piece,
premiere.
Of this piece. It's actually the only stop in the U.S. on the tour.
Quite an honor.
Yeah,
she's here in Portland.
Well, we're very thrilled. We wish there were more destinations in the U.S., but we're very happy and proud to be the sole presenter of this work. We both saw this work separately in different locations, and it's been 10 years since we had Maggie Marin and her company here, and it's very, very interesting theatrical work. It's something that I don't think Portland audiences have seen before. I know it's something that I haven't seen before. Everything is moving constantly. They basically bring a Mayflower moving truck here. There are dishes and tables and portraits.
It's a whole set.
It's a complete set, and it fills the stage.
And looking at the video, it's very provocative work, and it's a bit on the surreal side. And it's kind of that stuff that I like, actually, mind-bendy, twisty kind of dance art.
It feels edgy, and it's dark. It's physically dark. It's lit in a dark way. But the ending is a surprise, and we hope that everyone that sees it will not reveal.
So you
the
don't
ending.
Know either?
Well, we're not telling.
You're not telling? Come on, you can tell me.
We don't want anyone to reveal the ending, because it's really unique.
It's that Alfred Hitchcock thing.
You're just teasing us. You're just teasing us here. Well, why hasn't she performed in the U.S. before? I mean, she sounds like somebody that...
Well, we have
the
brought
US.
The...
We had
her 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, but not this particular piece.
Yeah, no,
so it's been a while. Yeah.
It's been quite a while, yeah.
Well, Compagnie Maggie Marin has its U.S. premiere for this piece on October 10th through the 12th. What's the name of this piece, by the way?
It's called Salve.
Salve?
S-A-L-V-E-S.
Salve. And that's happening October 10th through the 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the White Bird Dance Series. That show is located at the Newmark Theater at the Portland Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Portland. Now, in time remaining, let's talk about Lucy Guerin. Very experimental with video, sound, and there's almost this industrial edge to her. It's very industrial set design and sound. This group is from Australia. You want to tell us more about her? And the company?
Well, just to know, we've had a major commitment to bring Australian work over our 16 years. Her partner is Gideon Oberzanek of Chunky Move, which we presented three times. Lucy was actually came here initially with Pika back in like 2000, 2001, and we had her on stage with Baryshnikov in a piece that she created for Baryshnikov. She's one of the most innovative, adventurous, and theatrical choreographers creating work today. This piece is called Weather, which I think Oregonians can relate to. It's all about weather patterns as represented through the design and the movement on stage. And we just it's been at least 10 years since she's been here. So we've stayed in touch with her. And this will kick off our Uncaged series at Lincoln Hall. It's going to look great. But as I said, this actually kicks off our Australian festival because a week later we have Sydney Dance Company with a new work from Sydney. And then in January we have Phil Bannerman's Ballet Lab, also from Melbourne, where Lucy's based.
Well, I don't know how you do it. You have an opening almost every week. I just wanted to get this information out. Lucy Guerin performs October 17th through the 19th at 8 p.m. as part of the Uncaged series at Lincoln Hall at Portland State University. Now, we're running out of time, so I'm just going to mention it. There's Union Tangera.
Union Tangera.
Exactly. At the Newmark Theater, November 21st through the 24th, and it's tango music with live music on stage. It's almost like entering a tango club in Argentina or France. And so you can just go there at Whitebird, right?
Yes.
So all of this sounds fantastic, and we haven't even touched upon 2014, so that means you have to come back, right?
Or we cannot wait.
2014. So to reserve tickets to Whitebird or for more info, go to whitebird.org, and you can go to stageandstudio.org for that link as well. So Walter Jaffe and Paul King, what a delight to talk with you both. And thank you for dropping by.
We love coming to visit, Dumais.
Dumais, thanks so much for having us.
It's a great pleasure.
It's
like a meeting for coffee, but we didn't have any. But happy openings to you both.
Thanks for all that you do in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So next up, James and the Giant Peach at the Northwest Children's Theater. That's James and the Giant Peach at the Northwest Children's Theater with Sarah Jane Hardy after this short break. I'm Dimae Roberts. With me via phone is Sarah Jane Hardy, Artistic Director of Northwest Children's Theater and School. Hello, Sarah.
Good morning, Jane. Hey.
Hi. It seems like you've had a real fantasy season going on, or you're going to have at the theater, and it's almost as if it's the best of the returning shows to your main stage. Are you celebrating an anniversary or a theme this year?
This is our 21st season, and
wow.
So no, it wasn't anticipated this way, but it just seemed like the perfect programming for this time.
Well, it does seem like it's a fantasy season, because you've got James and the Giant Peach, but you've also got some of the other shows, too, which is, well, just go ahead and name them, because I didn't write them all down.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it seems like they were all, like Peter Pan is coming back, too.
Yeah, we are remounting our most successful production ever from last season, which is Peter Pan. For the holidays, and then we have Goodnight Moon, which we have done before about 6 or 7 years ago.
And I remember that. I had some wonderful young singers on to sing some songs there.
That's
it was
right,
really tremendous.
Yeah. And that's our show for the very young. And then we have a new work, a new adaptation of Little Red Riding Hood in the spring that's set in the 50s to bebop and has a sort of Rosie the Riveter kind of theme running through it, where the hood refers to the hood of a car, and she just wants to take shop and learn how to be a mechanic and race cars, and she's told she can't, and that kind of thing.
So, and beyond that, so those are the four shows then?
That's our season this year.
All right. Well, let's start off with James and the Giant Peach then. It's based on the famous book by Roald Dahl, and who also wrote so many wonderful children's books, including Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Matilda. And I also read about his very, very first novella, I guess, was The Gremlins, which I don't think was published widely, but they based that movie on it, and a lot of the characters are based that Steven Spielberg took. But James was also made into a rather lovely animated film, and you can tell us a little of the story of James and the Giant Peach, because it's such a great story about this boy.
It really is, and Roald Dahl has such a wonderful way of capturing the experience of children and dramatizing it, both in his novels and then in the plays that other people have created for the stage based on his work. James is a young boy whose parents are killed in a freak accident right at the very beginning of the play. And then he goes to live with his horrible Aunt Sponge and Aunt Spiker, not far from the coast of England by the cliffs of Dover. He suffers a dreadful life at their hands. And one day an old man comes with a bag of magical beans, and James drops them onto the floor and into the ground, and they magically disappear. And slowly but surely, a giant peach grows in the garden. James investigates the peach, climbs into the peach, and meets his new friends. And giant life-size insects, human-size insects inside the peach, and sets off on an adventure with them across the Atlantic.
How do you and your co-director, John Ellingson, handle all the big insects and puppetry in the show? You want to describe some of that and some of the process and the characters?
Yeah, this has been one of the reasons that I really wanted to work on this production, is that it felt really important to me that we dramatize these bugs in a way that retains some of their bug-like quality. And I've seen numerous productions of this in my life in England and here, and oftentimes the choice is to make them very human. And I have done that with many, many plays in my time. But at this time, with this play, I wanted to retain some of their bug-like qualities. And so I worked closely with John and also with Jen LaMastra and Christine Crosser, who we had a design team that worked interdisciplinarily on this show. So we all kind of talked about all of the areas of design. And John, in the end, we sort of looked at what made the bug, how the bug worked anatomically, how that might match with the anatomy of a human, and then also threw in what we knew about whimsy and children's imagination and what they would expect and what they would accept. John ended up taking a trip to IKEA and bought a huge variety of IKEA items, you know, laundry hampers and children's giant play plastic nylon leaves, and through the magic that is John Ellingson's design process, created these very large wearable puppet mask hybrids, costume hybrids, and that became the basis for our design for the bugs.
Well, doing these large shows with the fantasy elements is really not anything new for Northwest Children's Theater, because you kind of do fill up that stage with each of your productions.
We do. We've definitely, and I think part of that is John's influence. We definitely have an eye for visual whimsy, and his imagination is fairly boundless, and so he is able to, and his skills are you know, remarkable, and so, you know, if we dream it, he can usually realize it and create that for us. We also have, you know, a group of wonderful designers from across the city who are just, you know, I don't know, they amaze me with the contributions, but I would agree. I think that we have developed a reputation for providing a sort of visual whimsy and theatricality that fits very well on our stage.
Well, and you also have a reputation as a really strong school for young artists, for young theater artists, performing arts artists. Any success stories of any young talent, recent ones, who are making it as adults in the theater world now?
You know, we have quite a lot of alumni all around the country. Right now, we're focused on the kids that have just got into college and have just headed off for their freshman year at various conservatories and, you know, programs around the country. I mean, we have a couple of kids that are working regionally, plenty that are working in New York. Of course, Brendan Robinson, who went on to do Pretty Little Liars, was back earlier this year working with some of our students, giving them question and answer.
Yeah, that's a pretty big show on ABC Family, so that's awesome. Yeah. Well, James and the Giant Peach opens September 28th and runs through October 27th at Northwest Children's Theater and School, and that's located at 18 Northwest Everett Street in Portland. For more info or reservations, call 503-222 224480. That's 222-4480. Or visit nwcts.org or stageandstudio.org. Sarah Jane Hardy, great to talk with you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Dee May, and thanks for everything you do for the theater.
Well, thank you, and you take care and have a great opening.
Thank you.
Before we go today, check out an adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby at Bag and Baggage Theater in Hillsboro. The play starring Post Five Theater's Ty Boyce as Gatsby has its Oregon premiere at this critically acclaimed theater. Opening night is September 27th, and the show runs through October 20th. For more info on The Great Gatsby, visit bag, the letter N, baggage.org, or call them at 503-345-9590. That's it for this Stage and Studio. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org or download shows on the podcast at iTunes. And like us at facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio. And post a comment because you could win some tickets. And till next time, I'm Dee May Roberts. Let's go out with another three-leg torso song.